Support for KNKX Studio Sessions comes from the Shack Arts Center in downtown Everett, featuring art exhibits, live glass blowing, art classes for all ages, and gifts by Northwest artists. Open 7 days a week. More information at Shack, SCHACK.org.
It's not the 13th, but this Friday does bring some bad luck to the KNKX studios, but of the best kind. It's Neil Welch and Chris Icaziano, and their sax and drums duo Bad Luck has been a striking presence on the Seattle music scene for more than a decade. We're straying from a reliance on pretty melodies and swing rhythms today. The music of Bad Luck seems, to me anyway, to focus on emotion as much as improvisational freedom and intense communication between these two talented fellas. They describe their music as a genre-defying supernova of electronics, metal, folk, and jazz. I like to think of their music cinematically. They're musically a lot closer to David Lynch than Steven Spielberg. Bad Luck's fourth album, 4, is out now on Seattle's Origin Records. You can catch their release party at the Columbia City Theater next Friday, the 28th. Please help me welcome Neil Welch and Chris Icaziano. Bad Luck.
Thank you.
Bad Luck. Live on 88.5 KNKX, Neil Welch and Chris Casiano at the saxophone and drums. Bad Luck has a new record out called Four from Origin Records, out now, and they'll be celebrating the release of the record at the Columbia City Theater on, is it Friday the 28th? I want to say
correct.
It's Friday the 28th. I've got written down Thursday, but I know with my eyeball that's wrong. So it's Friday the 28th, a week from tonight. I would be interested in hearing how you guys got together, Chris. You met at the University of Washington, is that right? Were you both studying jazz? Or
yeah, we were both jazz studies students at the University of Washington. Started playing together just in a lot of different bands. And at one point, maybe because we couldn't get a rehearsal together, that we just started playing duo together. And the rest is kind of history. We played, started by arranging standards, jazz standards, and seeing what we could do, and then eventually started composing for the duo, and Neil started adding the pedals and effects, and that's kind of our foundation.
So this band does come out of a jazz foundation, but as you say in your own description of the band, you're kind of genre-defying, and I wonder if you can talk about how you got to the sound that you're creating with this band. Was there a plan in mind? We don't want to sound like this, or we do want to sound like this, Neil?
I wouldn't say there was a specific plan in mind, you know, that we were trying to avoid referencing something. It actually really started by, at least from my memory, really thinking about the work of John Coltrane and Rashid Ali. That was, for us, really the springboard. From then, I think it was about embracing the members of the community. Bands like Heat Warmer, at the time, Operation ID, other bands that were kind of in the, more actually in the indie rock scene, actually. Art Brown is here, Polyrhythmics, and you know, bands that were basically on the scene that we were playing shows with and playing gigs with. A lot of times those involved bands that were not actually jazz groups. So I think we started to identify more as being a part of that scene at times, mm-hmm. while at the same time stepping into a jazz realm too.
Now, together 10 years, that is something that should be congratulated on its face. But I would love to ask how you guys feel like the band sound has changed, evolved over the last 10 years, specifically with the new record Four. Chris, a different sound from your previous album?
It's very, very different. I mean, the first record was very much in the spirit of a free jazz record. And while that still exists in our music, it's like such a big part of it. I think our sound has evolved quite a bit. Our understanding and our control over the textures and sounds we get is a lot more mature and a lot more developed. Mm-hmm. Neil is kind of a master at his pedal setup here and like gets just incredible sounds. And we write specifically for those sounds. So we'll have a song that is specifically centered around like a very particular loop that Neil might make, and we compose for that. So I think that the composition process has become a lot more mature in that it's all very much integrated into one kind of cohesive package that I think really stands out on this newest record. I think it's the closest thing that we've come to envisioning what our sound is going to be like. So,
and this is a duo I think is bigger than a duo. It's more like a couple of multi-instrumentalists trying to do as much as they can at once. Chris's electronics did not work out for our session today, but he packs a bunch of electronics. And then, Neil, I wanted to ask you specifically about your pedal setup. How has that evolved over time?
So at the beginning, really, it was trying to do things that would work actually kind of more in a like on the bandstand, doing more rock music and supporting other bands. So it'd be doing things like doubling myself an octave up or down. And over time, really, I began to get more of a complete sound picture in my mind, as more just a sound imagination of what I was looking for. So that, you know, eventually that steered me towards adding things like delay and distortion, harmonizing, manipulating the instrument a little bit. But the one thing I would say about this in general is that I still very much identify as an acoustic player. So when I play, I always want my acoustic sound in there. I want a blend of things, and I'm really just in a lot of ways still acclimating to this world, even though it's been about 10 years of doing this now. I truly mean that. And I'm starting to accept more sounds into my brain as I'm just hearing more innovative work that people are doing. But I still approach it again in that acoustic way.
We are live in the studios with Bad Luck, and they're celebrating a new record. Four is out now. They're at the Columbia City Theater next Friday the 28th to celebrate the new record. What was the name of that last piece, Neil?
It's actually a new piece of music by Chris, as yet untitled. It's not from the new record. We're on tour over the next week, and so we're going to be trying some new material. So that's
how about
one.
This next one? Does this have a name yet?
Yeah, this one does. This next one's called Capital.
All right. Bad Luck live on 88.5.
Thank you.
Bad Luck. Live on 88.5 KNKX, Neil Welch on saxophone and electronics, Chris Siciliano drumming, and the new album is Four. It's out now. You can find him at the Columbia City Theater next Friday night, the 28th, as they bend over and adjust the instruments that they've been communicating with. I'll get a question out about how the band goes about writing music a little bit more in detail, Chris. The first song sounded very kind of improvisational, and that last one, kind of the math rock precision, really, really impressive stuff. How does a song begin? Is it a two-person affair through the whole thing, or how does it work?
It's definitely a two-person affair, not necessarily through the whole thing. And our writing process has changed so much over the years. I'd say in the past, we would often bring in songs that we would have, you know, pull charts for, and then usually kind of like axe everything except for maybe a few bars that that we really liked. But I'd say more recently, with the new material, we've kind of started writing together, you know, coming together in a rehearsal and writing songs. A lot of times it'll start with just us improvising and then trying to mine those improvisations for ideas that we find to be compelling. And so, yeah, I mean, it can go any way from either of us bringing in a fully fledged chart that we then arrange together. And because the instrumentation is so unique and provides a pretty distinct challenge in its own way, the songs always change so much over the course of writing and then rehearsing. And then finally, by the time we perform it, it's just a completely different thing.
Now, I want to ask, you're about to take the band on tour to celebrate the new record, Four, and I want to ask about the audience. I've got into this discussion at the Jazz Hang the other day about jazz musicians having artistic freedom, but also thinking about the audience that they're serving. Of course, public radio, we think about that all the time. So I wonder if you could talk, corporate speak of growing your audience, is that something you think about? Or is there an audience already out there for your music and you're just there to give them what they want? Neil, what do you think?
I mean, I think the answer is an unequivocal yes to both. Good. I think there is an audience out there. There is an appetite for music that's music that's kind of bending the genre and expanding the genre and also just developing on what's already been done, which we are very much interested in. But at the same time, as we talked about working our way into different communities and embracing the communities of people who are playing music outside of jazz, mm-hmm. doing that's going to naturally grow the community. So we still think about it in that way, you know, mm-hmm. When we're on the road, we meet people, we talk to them, we get their email address, we still kind of chat back and forth when they buy our album. I mean, we see them at repeat shows. So you slowly amass this community of people that are interested in the same kind of stuff as you are. I mean, it's very much as simple as that in my mind. But we're very much interested in expanding the audience of the music that we could play this to.
Now, it's not an entirely young audience, but that is certainly, I would say, a good chunk of the people that enjoy Bad Luck. And I think that's because of the generation that's grown up with access to every musical genre at their fingertips. I mean, folks my age and probably a little bit older than you saw a lot of genres being created. Now it's all there, Chris. You think that has something to do with the appeal of Bad Luck?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we bring so many different musical influences to this music, not just jazz, but also it allows us to play in a lot of different spaces that aren't necessarily jazz spaces. We play a lot of house shows, we play a lot of DIY venues, we play a lot of basements, a lot of weird warehouses, and they're all really fun, and a lot of young people show up to these shows, and they're really thirsty for music and people that are experimenting with stuff and something that's new. And that's really where we found a lot of our audience is, you know, punk houses in the middle of Milwaukee where they show up and they're into it and they love it. And I think that's a big part of how we've grown our audience is we can be in both worlds. We can be in the jazz world because we love jazz and this music is related to jazz. And we can be in the DIY world and play for lots of different people.
Now, you two have talked both about the community, and you are both an important part of the Seattle music community, not only with the band, but working with Table and Chairs Records and the Racer Sessions. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you've seen the Seattle music community change over the last, since you started the band, Neil.
We started the band together. I didn't start the band.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, the Seattle music community has I would say it's certainly expanded. For me, when we started our work at the Racer Session specifically, the community that I was a part of was very small and a little homogenized. And through that session, I met and collaborated with, I mean, talking hundreds of people over the course of the last 7-8 years. And there's been just really strong leadership in that organization, and that's been really helpful to, I think, the bands that come through the Racer Sessions and Table and Chairs Music. You know, great leaders, like we have one of them here, Haley Friedland, who's currently kind of spearheading the Racer Sessions right now. Evan Woodall is doing the recording. People who are doing really excellent work. And so it was through that, I would say, that we started to really expand the vision of what this band could do.
And Chris, specifically, I wanted to get you in on this question because I know you book a lot of shows and promote shows and mm-hmm. And work within a lot of genres too. And yeah. Maybe my head is just too stuffed in jazz. I see Seattle as a great jazz town right now, but there's a lot of different kinds of music for you guys to play with and interact with.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and yeah, this is an amazing jazz town. It's, you know, I grew up in this town and I've seen it from a young age, and it's like it's always amazed me. So props to the Seattle jazz scene. But yeah, you know, there's the music in Seattle just in general is incredible. There's so much great music coming out of the city, and other arts too, visual arts and dance. And what I'm noticing right now is there's actually a lot of collaborations that are happening between you know, the different mediums of art, and like that's kind of, I feel, maybe a really unique thing that's happening right here, and it's creating a really strong art scene, which I think is really exciting.
Oh, that's a logical next step. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Chris. We have Chris Icaziano on the drums, Neil Welch saxophone and pedals. It's Bad Luck. The new record's 4. It's out now. Check them out at the Columbia City Theater on Friday, the 28th. We got time for one more song. What'll this one be, Chris?
This one is called RBG.
RBG.
This one's dedicated to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right on.
Yeah.
Neil Welch on saxophone, Chris Sicaziano drumming. That's bad luck, my friends, putting the mojo on you for a Friday. And if you're going to be down Eugene, Oregon tonight, they're playing a gig there. But check in on the CD release party for the new record, 4, at the Columbia City Theater next Friday the 28th. They will also be performing at the Vera Project on October 2nd. I'm really looking forward to the October 7th show at Barboza with Sons of Kemet. So I will see you guys around town. Thank you so much for being in here. That was swell.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having us here.
Thanks also to all the members of the Leadership Circle and all the KNKX listeners. Your generous contributions make these performances possible. I'd also like to thank our studio session sponsors, the Shack Art Center. And thanks to Kari Erickson for her audio production. And with that, we'll send it back to Robin Lloyd with more Midday Jazz on 88.5 KNKX.